few weeks ago. I got a little bit sidestepped on that, but we're talking about prayer. You know, really lately, I got to tell you this, one of the kids in the back tonight, go ahead and open your Bibles up for a minute. One of the kids in the back came up to me and said, did we win the suit against us? And I said, did we win the suit against us? I said, are you talking about that asphalt plant? And he said, yeah, did we win that? And I said, yeah, we did. And he said, really? Like it was something? I said, well, I said, really and truly, we didn't win anything. I said, God took care of that. And he said, you know, it was like an amazement that God would do that. You know, have you ever had a prayer answered? Raise your hand. Have you ever had a prayer answered that you prayed about that God answered? Now let me ask you a question. What does that do for your when God does that and you go you almost want to say wow, you just almost got to say you know and you know unfortunately whenever a prayer is not answered the way that we want it to be, we go and instead of going wow, you know, excitement, we're upset by that. But you know, God doesn't always react to our prayers quickly. And sometimes he does. I mean, just like the situation there with the asphalt plant, that did surprise me. I fully expected for us to be there and to go up before them, and I didn't know whether we would win or lose. But you know, before we ever had to go, God took action with our prayers. So you know, we had people, honestly, the Hare family down here, they come on Sunday nights, Church of God folks. They had gotten a busload of folks of their own church who were going to go down to down there to represent us. Amen. They were that excited because, hey, this is their community here where they live, and they're concerned about it. So praise the Lord for that. But you know, we're looking at the, you know, it is a privilege to pray. Amen. It's a privilege to call on the Lord's name. And we talked about for a few weeks there that prayer allows us the access to God. Amen. If you ever, do you realize that you can be living in this old world we have, and the next moment you can be talking to God. Think about that a minute. That'll cause you to be excited. And by the way, we know from Hebrews chapter 4 that our prayer brings us into His presence. I mean, He's with us all the time, but you know what? It's just like your children. When your children, you know your kids are in there sound asleep in their bedroom, but the minute they walk to the door and say, Mama, Daddy, what happens? You go, huh? What's wrong? Well, you guess what? The moment you get to the place where you say, Lord, God says, yes, son. Yes, daughter. What do you need? You say, preacher, is it like that? It surely is like that. God hears your prayers, and God wants to know. Now, secondly, I'd said prayer is available to every single believer. Everybody. You know, in the Bible, I mentioned the story about Hannah. I love the story about her. I love the story about the publican there when he beat his chest and he wasn't. I love that more than that, the dying thief on the cross. Amen? Amen. When the thief on the cross, you know what? Today you shall be with me in paradise. Ain't that amazing? Jesus said, hey, today, son, you're gonna be walking down the streets of gold with me. What did it take to get there? All he had to do was talk to the one that could take him there. That'll cause you to be excited. Number three, I said prayer anticipates God's answers. God has a desire to answer us. Hold your place anywhere. Turn over to Luke with me, if you will. In Luke chapter number 12, God wants to answer your prayer. God wants to hear your prayers. Somebody says, well, God already knows what I need. I was talking to a man, I ain't going to tell you who it is, because some of you might know him. He lives down here on Old Selma Road. He's very eccentric. And we were in a dry spell several years ago. And I was down there. I said, listen, let's pray for rain. He says, don't need to. And I said, well, why is that? He said, because God already knows what we need, and we don't need to even ask Him for it. I said, well, buddy, I think the Bible says you have not because you ask not. And I mean, he's 80-some years old at the time, and I wanted to be respectful to him, but I wanted to just tell him, sir, you are wrong. God wants you to pray. God wants you to ask Him. But look in Luke chapter number 12, and look in let's go to verse number 22. I'll just fill in a couple verses here. I really want to get down to verse 32, but it says in verse 22, and He said to His disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. Well, that'll be a good one. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you are taking a thought can add to his stature one cubic? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye that ye shall eat, nor what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. For all these things do nations of the world, you get that? Nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then look in verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's what? Good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know what? God wants you to have. God has a desire for you to have. And you know what? It's a matter of the fact. You know, I'm not saying God wants you to have $1 million. I didn't say that. But God is not, I heard Adrian Rogers say that God is not a killjoy. God's not. You ever thought like, I used to be afraid to go ask my parents for something. You know what I'm saying? I'd go, and especially when I got to driving a car. Y'all remember when you wanted to have the kid go drive the car, and you go in there and you'd say, Dad, I really like to go drive the car. Now, that was not presented as a question. That was, Dad, I would really like to drive the car. Never asked him, could I drive the car? Dad, I think I can drive the car to the store and back, Dad. And my dad would look at me and say, son, do you want to drive the car? And I'd say, yes, sir. He says, well, then why don't you ask me? But parents are intuitive of that. They know that your children are wanting something. They'll just kind of sit there. And you folks are parents. You know what I'm talking about. They just want something. Can I tell you something? God wants you to ask Him. God has a desire to answer your prayers. And by the way, I honestly believe that God anticipates the fact that you're going to ask Him. He anticipates this and wants you to be the place where you could be to a place there where you're walking so close to the Lord that asking Him is not something that catches Him off guard. You ought to be praying. You say, preacher, I've got some needs. Then how much time are you spending talking to the one who can meet those needs? I talk to couples quite a bit, and they start telling me about their husbands. I'll just use this for an example. I was talking to a lady today, and she was telling me about her husband. She was having husband for lunch, just to be honest with you. And finally, after she got through, I asked her a question. I called her by name. I said, let me ask you a question. How much time have you done praying for him? And buddy, it got quiet. And she says, well, I haven't prayed. She says, I prayed for him, but it's been for his life. And I said, okay, I understand that. She said, well, you just don't know, Brother Jim. I said, yes, I do, because I am one. I'm a man. I understand. I absolutely sometimes can't understand completely anything about women, just to be honest with you. But there's times when ladies, only thing you can do is pray for us men, because we ain't the brightest bowling ball sitting in the box. And keep that in mind when it comes to, especially through paying attention to things, you most of the time are far above and beyond that. But my point is this, God has a desire. He has a desire and wants you to know that He is listening to you. Now, number four, do you realize what prayer accomplishes? Turn over to Matthew. Turn to Matthew chapter number four. Number 17. Matthew 17. Matthew 17, just a couple verses, and verse number 14. Matthew 17, verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. Boy, some of y'all can identify with this one, for he's a lunatic, amen. And sadly, that means he's what? He's crazy. And sore vexed, for oft times he falls into the fire and oft into the water. To be honest with you, I think he's got some of that possession stuff going on. And I brought him to the disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said unto, O faithful and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil and departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. And the disciples, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And y'all know what Jesus answered. Because of your what? Your unbelief. Your failure to believe. You know, I'm still battling this stuff. How many of y'all believe in the impossible? Believe that God can do the impossible. Do you believe that? Well, hey, listen. I got to be honest with you. I know God can do it, but there's times when my faith is weak. There's times when I, you know, I'll just use that asphalt plant as an example. There's times when I just thought, well, it's probably going to happen. No matter, we can pray, and we can go down there, and we can go in there, and we can voice our opinion. And then, but because inside of all of us, there's a little bitty thing back here that says, well, you're wasting your time. You're dealing with a big company, and you're wasting your time. And you know, I don't know that's just the old pessimistic side of us sometime, but the truth of the matter is, I'm a firm believer that God was able to interact into that deal before we ever got there. By the way, we never had to even go, amen? And God took care of that way before then. But prayer can achieve what is impossible. Now, I know there's several places I could go. I'm going to just turn to one. Turn over to 1 Kings with me. I love the story in 1 Kings. Get there in just a minute. 1 Kings chapter number 18. You remember the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel? Remember that? 1 Kings chapter number 18. Look in verse number 8. 1 Kings chapter 18. Look in verse 36. It came to pass, this is 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord. Notice this. What is he doing right now? Someone tell me. He's praying. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. He's praying before he ever did anything else. Now let me ask you a question. What did God do for him? Somebody tell me. Somebody remember what happened? He did what? He did. And remember that he poured all that water on the altar, and what happened to it? It lapped it up, amen. It just took care of it, and it just kept pouring the barrels of water on and pouring the barrels of water on. Let me show you another place. Turn to Genesis 18. I'm talking about the impossible. By the way, how many of y'all have ever tried to light a fire in the rain? You ever tried it? You ever tried with matches that aren't designed for that? If you ever, I'm going to throw it to you another thing. Have you ever tried to light a fire that you just got through putting 600 or 700 gallons of water on? Now I'm just going to tell you right now, it don't work. But look in Genesis chapter 18. I think we missed something here in Genesis 18 and verse 23. Here you've got Abraham. And I want you to notice this. I preached a message not long ago that God speaks to God's people considering the wickedness of a land, and he speaks to them because God wants us to be mindful about the people in this nation. Abraham here in Genesis 18, verse 23, Abraham drew near and said, will thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? Preadventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou destroy and not spare the place with the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Now I could go on for a minute, but I'm going to tell you something. How much time has the church done praying for this country we live in? How much, you know, listen, we're living in wicked days. I'll agree with that. But you know what we do? And we sit and we fuss. We fuss at our politicians. And I know some of them probably deserve it. I'm not saying they don't. But I'll tell you right now, it'd be good if we just say, listen, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to lift you up in prayer. I'm going to pray adventure that God will not let this nation be destroyed because of the people of this nation and what we're doing. I'm saddened by what's happening, but I'm also a believer that we're not calling on the Lord like we should. I mentioned earlier, I'll just give you one more. Turn over to Luke 23. Give you one more tonight, Luke 23. There was a couple more I could give you, but I'll just go to this one. Luke 23 and verse number 39. Luke 23 and verse number 39. Here you've got the thief on the cross in Luke 23, 39. And one of the malefactors which was hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly. There, I put a note here. I don't know who preached this message. I can't remember. I put a note right here acknowledging number one. First of all, verse 40, "Dost not thou fear God?" This man acknowledged God right there. And then number two, in verse number 41, "And we indeed justly." He acknowledged his sin. And notice, he says, "We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." That is a fact. He knows he's getting exactly what he deserves, but this man has done nothing. And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Let me ask you a question. What did the Lord do? Can I tell you something? God answered his prayer in just moments. Just moments. You know, I've often thought about this guy. We're going to be in heaven one day. It's hard for me to fathom that I'm going to be walking down the streets of gold one day and somebody's going to say, "Hey, Jim, you see that guy going right there? That was the thief on the cross." I've got to go up to him. Someone told me we're going to know all things. I mean, I'm assuming that's the true statement, and I'll buy into that. But I got to go up and say, "Look, man, how did that work?" Can you imagine? He had been a thief. He had lived his life as a thief. And he got there on the cross, but he recognized there was something different about the Lord. And he looked over and said, "Today, Lord, remember me." And God remembered him. You know, that is the impossible. That is the impossible. By the way, the other guy did not believe in the impossible. And you know what? It's sad, but I think a lot of people today live their lives, Brother Art, without the supernatural power that's in this book right here. You know, the fact is that, you know, never say God cannot do it. Never say that, you know, sometimes God does not do it. Don't misunderstand me. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes, you know, when you're late, you've got a loved one there and they're dying and you're on your knees and you're crying out, "Oh God, don't let them die," and they die and you get up and you go, "God, you let me down," and you've got to say, "Oh no, I didn't let you down. I just recognized that I knew that this was above your understanding of what's going on here." And that's hard, my friend. That's hard to be able to accept. But the truth of the matter is, God got prayer can achieve the impossible. I pray tonight that you know, we'll look next week at what prayer does. Two more points and what we can do with prayer as believers. If we'll get to the point where we recognize what prayer can do. We can see, you know, we talk about a little asphalt plant. We got a whole lot bigger thing happening right out there in that cow pasture, a building to build. Prayer, though, without action, it's like a farmer standing out in his field and say, "Beans grow." You say, "Well, you haven't planted any beans yet." Mm-hmm. "Oh, I need to plant them first." Yes, plant them and then pray. Or the farmer who plants the beans and never goes back to his field. Many people today think, "Well, I've prayed about that." You better be mindful. Be in prayer. Be a man and woman of prayer tonight. Let's all stand. Appreciate y'all being here. Want to thank Troy and Michelle again for supper tonight. Thank y'all very much for fixing that. And let's close in a word of prayer tonight. I think the kids are ready to go home. And I think the adults are ready to go home. And don't forget Sunday evening. I think we'll probably maybe bring some desserts. We'll have desserts. I know Brother Art needs some desserts to eat. Amen. And we'll just bring some desserts and have a time of fellowship and, and you know, tell them bye, and hopefully not for a short time there. But let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Brother Wade, close our service, brother.